increasing your capacity to operate in the supernatural. Increasing your capacity to operating in the supernatural. And you must understand you have an unlimited capacity from the Father. So that means that your life is always sitting on unlimited hinges. The door of your life is unlimited. The windows of your life, they are unlimited. The gates of your life is unlimited. But you have to learn how to increase your capacity to operate in the supernatural. Now, there's a secret in Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. There's a grave secret in the first chapter, in the first two verses. There's a secret of operating in the supernatural. It's a secret that God used himself. Ooh. It's a secret that God used himself to bring forth the supernatural to manifest and demonstrate wherever he was. And God gave us the same privilege to have the same principle or the same strategy or the same anointing to operate in the supernatural. Now, let me ask you a question or two before we read these verses about being stuck. Is there anywhere or any way you stuck in anything? Just stuck. Don't seem like you can get another. You're trying to make another move, but it's not working. All right? Is there any way you limited? See, you shouldn't be limited. See, once you learn how to operate in the supernatural, you take all limitation off. You heard me? Take all limitation off. I want to ask you a question. Are you still ordinary? Have no business being ordinary. You have no business being the same way a sinner is. Are you following me? Or let's say it another way. When I was writing, are you staying in the same condition? Something extremely wrong if you're a child of God and you stand in the same condition year after year after year. There's no changes. That means you do not know how to operate in the supernatural, because the supernatural changes the natural. The supernatural changes the impossible. You understand? The supernatural changes the impossible. There's nothing impossible. And listen, my sister, you hear, there's nothing incurable. You hear at the right time. You say you have the doctor announced that you have a disease that cannot be cured. You're at the right church at the right time. And nothing incurable up in here. Nothing. So I want you to listen. Here in Genesis chapter 1, it says in the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You see that? All right. And the earth was without form and void. Now, I could elaborate on that. Some things are without form in your life. Some things are void or empty in your life. But if you listen at this principle and you listen at what happened, your life is about to change. What I said?
Your life is about to change.
Because you're going to increase your capacity to operate in the supernatural. You were born to operate in the supernatural. When you accepted Christ, you became a supernatural being. Here I read, and the earth was without form and void. Without form, one thing. Void, another thing. That's a negative thing. Darkness, another thing, isn't it? How bad your problem is. Void, without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But and the Spirit of God moved upon the face, see it, of the waters. That's the secret. God spoke, but the Spirit moved. And these 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we want to talk about you got to keep moving. You got to move. Movement attracts God. You can't give up. You can't stop. You can't get stuck. You got to keep moving. If you can't move no more, just scoot a little bit. Do something. Keep moving in your life. All right? Now, let's read. We're going to read some other verses to tie in so I can break it down where we can have a good understanding of this, all right? Now, when that happened, the Lord called my attention, because I'm a Bible student, he called my attention to 2 Peter, because the word of God is alive. Okay? Okay. Now, you got to apply faith to it for it to work for you, because the word of God is a living thing, okay? The word of God, this book is a living book, okay? But you have to know certain things about it. So just go ahead and turn to 2 Peter, and let's look at this, because we're talking about making a move in the Spirit. You got to move in the Spirit. Movement attracts God. Faith attracts God. See, faith is a movement. Are you understanding me? Faith attracts God. The anointing attracts God. Why? It's a movement. In the anointing, I receive. In the anointing, I receive. In the anointing, you're moving. These kids ain't hitting no dollar. Need this $50 bills, man. In case you want to know. But the movement, you got to move in the Spirit for the Spirit. The movement attracts God. People who are scared and stand in the same spot, you don't attract God, because God is not afraid of anything. So you got to take your faith and move. You got to move. If life not working like you want to, move. Do something. Do something in the Spirit. Use a scripture. Walk on a scripture. Lord, I'm trusting you for this. All right. Let's look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter, because you get an understanding of it. Hallelujah. Somebody back me up in here. Teaching you this word, and you don't sit there and look at me. Back me up. Hallelujah. 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 All right. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's see. Chapter 1, verse 20. I brought verse 20 in there for a purpose. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let me see. Might go back up. Verse 19. Go back to verse 19. You with me? Y'all know where Peter at? All right. All right. 2 Peter. Don't be in 1 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. Now, my man emphasizes that the Spirit of God works with people who are moving with the Spirit, are moving in the Spirit. Say, now, we have also, 19 verse, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. And the day star is Jesus. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. See. For the prophecy, now notice the next verse. For the prophecy came not in old, wait a minute, I'm going too far. I'm about to skip on it. Old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, look at it, spake, how? Now, what that second verse say in Genesis? At the last part of that second verse in Genesis say what? And the Spirit moved on the water. See, things got to stay moving. Stay moving. Now, that moving where? Let's see. Look at Ezekiel 37 for a minute. Ezekiel 37. A lot of groundwork. Yeah. I'm expecting a harvest. You? Ezekiel 37, one of the first chapters the Lord gave me when I started teaching on the supernatural. Even before I got three apostles helping me now. I'm studying with three apostles. Yeah. Apostles who know what they're talking about. You know? Yeah. In Ezekiel 37, 1 is a verse to relates to this movement. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Just don't go out by yourself. Now let me announce today to you, right now, look at me. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Listen to me. From this day forward, the Spirit of the Lord going to carry you. So don't be afraid of nothing. You got the hand of the Lord on you. You got the Spirit carrying you. From there, God will tell you exactly what to do to stay in place to get blessed.
Come on now.
All right? Look at that verse. I want you to look at the verse. I want you, don't just read it here. Read it at home sometime. Some of y'all come to church and just read the Bible when you're at church. That ain't going to work. Why should we say now? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bone. And then he said the bone was very dry. What my point here is, whatever in your life is drying up, whatever in your life is not working, this message is for you. Because if you move in the spirit, if you read the story, these dry bones came alive because of a very particular voice. I'm going to show you a voice that help you along this line. Look in the 9th and 10th verses that Sam opened it. The 9th and 10th verse. The 9th and 10th verse. We're talking about how to increase your capacity to operate in the supernatural or to operate in the spirit. Or to operate in the word properly. Or to operate as a kingdom citizen properly. Or to operate in the gift of the spirit properly. Or to operate in the fruit of the spirit properly. Or how to wear the armor of God properly. And when? All right, look at the 9th and 10th verse. Tell us something. The bone didn't come alive. He prophesied. The bone didn't come up. And sometimes things don't happen for us because the Spirit of God, we're not moving in the Spirit. The 9th verse, it then said he unto me, after the bone had come together, it wasn't alive. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. When he said prophesy unto the wind, he's talking about the Spirit, see. Prophesy unto the man and say to the wind, say to the Spirit, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Just think about, I'm about to say something, I'm going to make you shout. Think about God breathing on your problem. Think about God. You make a request. You say, let your request be known to God. You make a request and the Spirit breathe on it. Because you see, you don't feel nothing. You don't see nothing change, but you're moving by faith. Anybody got help here? Yeah, if you're dealing with something, listen to me now. If you're dealing with something this morning, you just got your word. Move in faith. Give God a chance to breathe on it. Whatever God breathes on, it comes alive. Look at it. Look at the 10th verse. So I prophesied that he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. And stood upon their feet, and stood upon their feet, and stood upon their feet, and stood upon their feet. Somebody get up on their feet this morning. And stood upon their feet as an exceeding great army. They stood up on their feet. I mean, when the life of God come in you, you stand up. You're not going to, I'm not sitting down and taking this mess. I'm going to stand on my feet. I'm a child of God. I got a right to win. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want to look at another, sit down. I want to look at another verse. Because we've been putting too much, we got too much limit on God. Turn to Psalm 78. You got to take these limits, this world. This limit the world trying to set on you, government trying to set on you, all these different things trying to set up on you. No, they're out of order.
Yes, sir.
They're out of order. And I don't have no limit on me. Say it.
I'm a child of the living God.
Hallelujah. Psalm 78, 41. We got to stop doing this.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Psalm 78, 41. Yeah, they turned back and tempted God. Look what it said now. And did what?
Limit.
And what?
Limit.
And what?
Limit.
All right, now how many of y'all ready to take the limit off of God or you in your life? Now put your hand up. Now, I ain't got time for no plan. Put your hand up. I ain't got time to be playing around here. How many of y'all ready to take the limit off God? I'm going to teach you how to take the limit off of God and the limit off of your life. God is an unlimited God. There's no reason to limit him. There's no reason you shouldn't trust him. There's no reason you shouldn't trust what he's saying to you. There's no reason you shouldn't act on his word. Act on his word in midair. Act on it. Walk on the water. No reason you shouldn't walk on the water. No reason you shouldn't stand up when everybody else is sitting down. No reason you say you can't say I'm going to make it when it don't look like you're going to make it. Because God's not a liar. We have to learn how to operate in the supernatural. I don't see it, but I believe it.
Yes, sir, I believe it.
Yes, sir, I believe it.
I don't smell it, but I'm going to tell it.
Come on now. Come on now. Yes, sir.
See, I have it now. I have it because God said so. Are you listening to me? So we're not going to limit God anymore. You see, you limit God when you don't know how to operate in the supernatural. My job is to show you how to get manifestation, demonstration, how to get creative miracles in your life, and how that God is not short on nothing. Okay, I'm going to start walking through this. I'm going to start showing you some principles and points that you can walk through. There's a lot of scriptures. I'm just going to be able to read those few this morning, because if I keep reading, I'm not going to be able to give you some points. So sit down. Let me give you some, get your pen, get ready to write some things down. Never exclude from whatever you're dealing with the redeeming power of the cross. The redeeming or the redemptive works or the redeeming power of the cross. The redeeming power of the cross is not just I'm saved. It purchased for you everything that God promised.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so you never forget the finished work. Never forget the pivotal move of God was when Jesus died. It settled everything that God had promised, all right? Never forget that you're redeemed from the curse of the law. And so no curse can stay on you. No curse. You're not going to hell for number one. Number two, you're not going to remain sick. And number three, you're not going to remain broke. Because you're redeemed from hell, you're redeemed from being broke, and you're redeemed from being sick. I wish somebody say amen. That redeeming power of the cross, you got to keep that in front of you. If you're going to operate in the supernatural, you got to know that Satan has been whipped and is irrevocable. It's eternal. It's permanent. He can't change. He can't reverse it. He's licked. You have to know that. He's going to bluff you, but you got to know that. You got to stand your ground. You got to stand in grace. You got to say, I'm going to make it. Don't you settle for less. Don't you settle down and think you have lost. You can't lose. But why? You already redeemed. Christ said, redeem us from the curse of the law. Curses every man that hangs on a tree. He hung there for you and he hung there for me. But it didn't stay there. The next thing you got to know, sit down right there. I put it in a different way so you can understand it. The next thing is the resurrection power of life. I say that a little different so we can get a grasp on it. The resurrection power of life. Not only did he redeem me, but he resurrected me. I don't only have his redemption working for me as a power, but I have his resurrection as a power. Notice in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, he defied everything that comes against him, came against him, and everything that comes against you the rest of your life. In other words, you have the power to rise up and walk out of anything. Oh, man, I'm preaching. Come on, everybody, praise God. Because of his resurrection, because death couldn't hold him in the grave, that means nothing down here can hold you in a grave. No aspect of life, no matter what come against you, no matter who against you, no matter what it look like, no matter what the economy is, no matter who's sick, no matter who broke, it can't hold you because you're working from another time. You see that? We have to know not just the power of the cross, we have to know the power of the resurrection. Because he rose, I can rise up in anything and come on now, and from anything. He's setting the pace for my life. I believe it. I receive it. So I don't believe nothing can hold me down. See, that's supernatural. See, knowing the redeeming power of the cross, knowing the resurrection power in your life, caused you to live a supernatural life. In other words, there's nothing incurable. There's nothing that is not obtainable. You have to know that. No, it don't make nothing you can't have up here.
Amen.
Are you listening? All right, let's just go now. Now, to do this, to operate in the supernatural, Oh, God, I don't want to cry now, God. Let me preach. To operate in the supernatural, you must keep a renewed mind. Turn to Romans 12:2. You must live in a life of transformation. You must live a transforming life. You must live a transitional life. You must live a life that's constantly moving, that the moving with the word. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. What? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to constantly take the word of God and renew your mind. You can't take the word of your unbelieving neighbor, talking about how bad things are. You take the Bible out and tell them what thus said the Lord. Say it, thus said the Lord.
Thus said the Lord.
If you're going to live in the supernatural, you got to have them words on your mouth. You got to be able to say, thus said the Lord. I believe it, and that said it, and I shall have it. Look at Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Without a renewed mind, you're not going to be able to flow, because your old mind going to talk you out of it. Your old friend, your old cousin, somebody crazy can come telling you God didn't say that. God did say it. And when you got it renewed in your mind, when you're walking around with a new renewed mind, you're a transformed person. What you transformed to? I'm transformed to the will of God. Woo! I'm transformed to the ways of God. I'm transformed to the word of God. I'm transformed to the work of God. You can't stop me. I got a word working on my mind. My mind. I have the mind of Christ now. I don't think like a regular man. See, you cannot operate in the supernatural with old thoughts. When the Bible talks about having a renewed mind, the Bible is talking about exactly what Isaiah said. God said, my thoughts are not your thought. Renewed mind, you got his thought. My ways are not your ways. Renewed mind, you got his way. Come on, church, talk to me. See, and you need a renewed mind to operate in the supernatural. Say it, I need a renewed mind to operate in the supernatural. Now, I'm not talking about a one-time deal. I'm talking about constantly taking this book and letting it renew your mind every day. Say what it says. Believe what it believes. Act like it acts. Oh, you got me? Are you with me now? Are you with me? See, you're not going to operate, brother. You're not going to operate in the supernatural with your old mind. Because your old mind is natural. Then your old mind will turn devilish on you. It'll agree with the devil. It'll agree with technology. It'll agree with psychology. It'll agree with philosophy. It'll agree with theology. Your old mind will agree with a bunch of things. But when your mind renewed, you come in agreement with the word of God, which cannot return void, which will accomplish what he sent out to do. You got to keep your mind renewed. I don't care how much you love God, how much you talk about God, you got to keep that mind renewed, because that old mind will come creeping back in, telling you what you can't do, what you can't have, what you can't go, and try to take you back in history. We ain't dealing with no history. We're dealing with right now, right here, right this day. I ain't dealing with tomorrow, and I'm not dealing with yesterday. I'm dealing with right now. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Huh? Have I preached you happy already? So to operate in the supernatural, you have to have a renewed mind. Now, we're going somewhere right now that is very important. You cannot operate in the supernatural without revelation. Because without revelation, you don't have no keys. You got to have keys to operate in the supernatural.
Amen.
All right? So I'm going to go to one scripture, then I'm going to take a scripture to show you how to get it. Go to Matthew 16. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, Apostle, you're preaching today.
And
I'm listening. And I appreciate it.
And
my life is changing.
Hallelujah.
That's my launch right there, partner. If your life changes, that's my launch. That's what I live for. I live for you to be on top. Matthew 16, and I'm not going to take a chance to read the whole thing. I just want to read two or three verses to let you know. Question been asked. When a question asked, don't answer it naturally. When Satan got something working against you, don't answer him naturally. Don't talk to him naturally. Talk to him in revelation.
Yeah.
Let him know something been revealed to you. Let him know I know you defeated.
Yes, sir.
You can come here with that deception, but I got a word from God. Yes, I'm going to put this word on you.
Yes,
and he knows who knows what they're talking about.
Yes,
right. Woo!
Right now.
Woo! Anything you're dealing with right now, yes, talk with it in a revelation.
Wow.
See, talk with revelatory words.
Yeah.
And here he asked Peter, you know, he asked the boys who said, yeah, they'd be guessing. You can't be guessing when you're dealing with something. And if you're guessing around, watch this boy get a revelation. 16 and 17. Watch this boy get a revelation. Then I'm going to show you how to get it. I'm just going to show you, I'm going to just show you a man working with revelation, but then I'm going to take you to my favorite scripture to show you how to get it. All right, he says, now notice what he says here in the 17th verse. 16, 17. You in Matthew 16, 17?
Yes, sir.
If you ain't in Matthew 16, get up and get on out of here. You ain't, what you just sucking up air and messing up other people on the road. You're messing the people up on the road. What you come here for? Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Look what he said, blessed. Now, you see, when revelation comes, guess what else comes? The blessing comes. Blessed art thou. And notice he ain't saying nothing to them other people who say, you John the Baptist, none of them. They ain't had no revelation. But John, now watch what he said. For what? Flesh and blood has not, but my Father, which is in heaven. So the man got a revelation, right? Then he said, and I say unto thee now, let me talk to you personally, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of the revelation, children, I will build my church. Those who have a revelation, hell can't come against them. Hell can't hold no water against a person who got a revelation. Talk to me here. See, all I need is a revelation from God that I can stop every damnable thing in my life. Lord, give me a revelation on what I'm dealing with right now.
Give me a revelation, Lord.
How to move up a little higher. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get this at the store. You see, it's a revelation. Say revelation. All right, watch what he said. After he got a revelation, now he said, he who have revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against him.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. He said, against the church, I'm the church.
Yeah.
So no matter what come against me, it may look like it's prevailing, but I know, no, you can't prevail. So nobody need to be worried up here anymore. Don't worry about a thing. If they're coming against you, all you need to do is get revelation. And from revelation, look what happened. Sit down. Look what happened from revelation. Look what happened. We just don't, boy, I got so much to preach. Look, listen. Revelation. Say revelation.
Revelation.
Say it again.
Revelation.
Say it again.
Revelation.
All right, now, revelation is the Spirit of God has revealed his wisdom to you, his understanding to you of how to do something just like Jesus would do it, or how to do it just like the Holy Spirit would do it, or even God himself. Here is what I would do if I was in that condition. Wow. But you heard that? Here's what I would do if I was in that condition. Then he turned right around and backed that up because it's his word. He tell you to do it, and he back you up and make sure it come out right. Talk to me up in here. Now, notice the 19th verse. Supernatural. Here we go. We're in a supernatural. Now we got a key can unlock anything on the earth, under the earth, on top of the earth. We got a key that work in hell, work in heaven, and work on earth. You see, it's a revelation key. It's a key. It's a key above all keys. It's the master key. He said, look what he said. Look what he said. Look at his word. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And look what the audacity of the Spirit of God. And whatsoever thou shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. How powerful you are. As a child of God. You see what I'm saying, son? How powerful you are. You got the key. And then he said, whatsoever Thou shalt loose. What? Loose. What? Loose. Loose. How many of you have some stuff they want loose? Listen to me. I'm about to make a statement. I want you to hear me. Hey, over there. I want you to hear me. All blessing belong to you. There's nothing you can't have. The Bible said, blessed be the God, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How about you bless us with?
All.
So that means everything this book said that I can have, it belongs to me. So you walk around with that kind of attitude, things will start coming to you. See, but if you walk around and let Satan talk to you and tell you what you ain't going to have, then that you ain't going to get nothing. But everything belongs to you. All blessing belongs to you. Say it. All blessing belongs to me. Because you got these church folks and these religious folks and these traditional folks and these folks of theology want to talk about, oh, you don't need all that. Yes, I want it all. If the Bible said he blessed me with all spiritual blessings, that means spiritual blessing overruled every other blessing. Yeah,
right.
So that means I can have these little blessings down here.
Yeah, that's right.
He said he give me all sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look at it. But God is able. Good God Almighty. Look in 2 Corinthians 9:8. See what he says. God is make all. What? God is able to make all great. What else? Abound to you that you always having in what? May abound to what? And you need to read that in the Amplified Bible. God put it in the Amplified Bible. Y'all got the Amplified Bible back there? They need to see this before I go in there, Father. My God is able to make all grace. Make all earthly favor. Y'all can't find the Amplified Bible like that? Earthly favor. Look for it. Earthly favor. What? Oh, Jesus. And God is able to make all great, every favor and earthly blessing. Every favor and every earthly blessing. God wants to make sure you can have it down here.
Yes, sir.
Every favor and every earthly blessing come to you. You don't have to go to it. It'll come to you. Make watch it, watch his word. Make yourself a target for God's blessing. Get out in the open. Say, yeah, it is, Lord. Shoot it toward me. Every earth come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. What? Possessing a what? Enough to require no aid or support and furnishing abundance for every good working chap. Whoa, my goodness. That's supernatural. See, the reason that a lot of verses we couldn't understand, huh? Because you have to understand them supernaturally. See, the scriptures start talking, and if you're in the natural, you're not going to understand it. You got to understand it's supernatural. That's a supernatural voice there. I mean, that's running everything. Oh, that's like my cup running over. That's a supernatural voice. I mean, what you going to do with it? Give, and it should be giving you a good measure, press down, shake, get it running. That's supernatural, man. Huh? My God shall supply all your need. I was riding along praying in tongue, coming here down the way, and this word probably for somebody. I know it's for all of us, but it might be specifically for somebody. Don't let nothing steal your God-given dream. Sit down, write that down. Write that down, put the date you got it. Don't let nothing steal your God. Notice it, at first I got it, don't let nothing steal your dream. And God, I got a little voice, and no, because I can't give him a dream I didn't give him. And he told me, said, if you want to ignite your faith on that, read Genesis 37 through 39. I don't have time to hold another message. But Joseph let nothing stole his God-given dream. I mean, he went from the palace to prison, but he just stuck with it, and that dream came to pass. So some of y'all had a dream, and it seemed like it dropped. You might have married the wrong person and they don't think like you think and they got you going the wrong way, but God's still going to give it to you. I'm just real, man. You see, you ain't had to say that. Yeah, I did have to say it because sometimes somebody come in your life and kill your dream. All they can see is a house and two carport with no garage door. That's all they can see. You still get out, you still get wet in the rain. Because I had one, the wind blowing. You got one of them open carport with wind blowing, you're going to get wet. The other one got out in the yard. I know some of y'all got carport, but I'm just talking to you until you could have a garage. You could put a door on it. Don't get mad with me because I'm reading the Bible. Y'all make up your mind to put a wall out there and go buy a doggone door. It'll be shut up. Get upset with me about that? He ain't got to say that. Yeah, I had to say it. We're going to need to go all the way. Get on the inside. Shut the doggone thing up. You don't need them on one wall and a door. All right, not only do you need a renewed mind, not only do you need, I got to tell you about the revelation. Go to Ephesians 1, because I'm about to go, boy. But this is what you need to be praying constantly. This opened up the whole arena of the supernatural. We're about to open up everything in your life supernaturally now. If you follow what I'm about to show you now, Ephesians chapter 1, you know of it, but in the way I'm preaching it this morning, it's going to open up a whole new world to you. See, not only do you have a renewed mind, but now you're dealing with revelation. Right after revelation, we're going to deal with what I call a rhema word. I'm going to show you how to get a rhema word. Because you're trying to deal with something with a red word. Mm-hmm. You're trying to deal with major problem with just a red word. And you're going to have, you know, red. Memorize, and it ain't working. But I'll show you in a few minutes. Now, Ephesians 1, let's see, verse 17. Lord have mercy. Now, Paul praying this for this church. I'm praying this for a word of life here. Listen, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now watch, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in how to get another house. Revelation in how to get a bigger car. Revelation in how to get a bigger bank account. No! Listen, when you get him, all that gonna come. Look at Hebrews 11 and 6. Hold your finger there. Turn to Hebrews 11 and 6. See, y'all got this thing mixed up. Y'all come out of tradition, then you got grabbing after stuff. God told me, said, you're not on the top at the top. You're at the top in the deep. See, with God is go down to go up. Go down in the deep of his spirit, in the deep of revelation, and then you're going to, a bunya is going to hit you. Finally, you go deep enough, you're going to strike all. You go deep enough, you're going to hit a vein, and all of a sudden that vein going to plop, you're going to the top. You know, I got your help. You ever see, we're grabbing at this little stuff at the top, grabbing at little suits and little cars and little houses, little diamonds. You grab me. No, that's not the way you get it, baby. Go down. In the, he said, the spirit will reveal the deep things of God to you. 1 Corinthians 2:10. That's what it says. Night, boy, say, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, not even the heart of man, the things that God had prepared for them that love him, but the spirit revealed. See, we're still dealing with revelation. The Spirit revealed the deep things of God to you. And when you get to walking, see, all you see on the outside of my life didn't come from the outside. See, I talk about it. See, in my right-hand garage, I got two garages. In my right-hand garage where we parked the two Rolls Royce, they got a string come from the ceiling with a tennis ball so you know not to hurt the car, you know. So when the tennis ball hit the windshield, that means you ain't. And see, the reason I'm testifying about it is God did it. Both of them Rolls Royce was given to me. Yes. What? How can you get upset about my gifts? And you think I'm crazy enough to say no? They say, do you want a Rolls Royce? I say, yes, get it. They come up with another one. I'm going to say, yeah, get it. I'll take three. I'll build another garage for it. See, but people don't understand. Who get blessed, don't judge them. Find out how they got there. Maybe they can tell you something. We just go, I'm going to talk about the Rolls Royce. And just tell me about Jesus. Tell me about God. That's God, Rolls Royce, God. Who you think that is? Who you think a phantom is? That's God. Who you think a ghost is? That's God. My wife and I drive out them garage today, and you see us, you say, bless God, there we go. Then Matt around, and Doc get right behind me. He got a Rolls Royce too. He say, oh, that's three of them. Good God Almighty. God got some more. I'm preaching about Rolls Royce right now. Because it's a revelation. How a little old dummy like me come from guys, Ma, that didn't have study in school, never been to college, riding around in a Rolls Royce and didn't look for it, the thing came to me. Sit down. Y'all don't want me to preach. Y'all don't want me to preach. Y'all don't understand what I'm trying to tell y'all. I don't know how. I kept going down. I kept going to Neway Station. I kept talking to him. I want to know him better. I told him I love him. He don't have to give me nothing. I just want you to show me who you are. And I'm still doing the same thing. I still pull that Rolls Royce side the road and dance. I still get on my knees. That car don't make me. I make that car.
Yes, sir.
It hurt me. People singing the funk and doing all this other old crazy stuff and dishonoring God, they could have all kind of stuff. Y'all, yeah. A Christian rise up and start doing some things. Y'all, I wonder why he got that. I got it through God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And you ain't seen nothing yet. You let me keep digging. You let me keep praising him. You let me keep glorifying him.
Yes, sir.
He gonna do something else. I can't stop him. You notice what I said? I can't stop it. Come on, man. Y'all catch on. Don't listen to regular folk. Don't let them folks talk to you. Y'all catch on. Don't let them church folk talk to you. See what God doing. Sit down. I'm gonna finish in a minute. Put my handkerchief on. That's revelation. I know you're in Ephesians 17 verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, and I say to me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I told you, go to Hebrews 11:6. He doesn't understand how faith works. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Now watch this. Watch this. Don't miss it. He's a rewarder of them that what?
That
seek who? Him. See, not stuff. Get the stuff off your mind. See, once you get him on your mind, the stuff going to start looking for you.
That's right.
Ideals. Insight.
Come on.
Doors open. Favor. All kind of stuff happens for people who are on the trail of God. Yeah, see, everything I got is because I went after him. You understand me, young lady? Everything I have is because I went after him. I give him the glory. I couldn't do anything I got. I couldn't do it. This place, everything paid for. 600 acres of land paid for. I was just going after him. Go find a church with 600 acres of land. Come back and talk to me. You leave here and go in and find a church with 600 acres of land paid for. Come back and talk to me. Why? It's not normal. It's supernatural. But you got, Leslie, you got to seek him. If anything you need to know about your pastor is that I love God. You have to know that. You have to understand that. This is my, I love God. I ain't after no stuff. The stuff after me. That the eyes of your understanding, look at the next verse, be enlightened, because there's three things you need to know to operate in the supernatural. You need to know the hope of his calling. Listen, Jesus. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. Now notice this now. Notice that you got to notice here he is again. You read that verse wrong. Of his calling. Not Southern University and LSU calling. His calling. Not theology. Not psychology. Not your calling. His calling. You got to see that now. You got to see that. Come on, class. You with me? You may what is the hope of his calling? Number one. And number two, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the sand. His inheritance is his calling, is his inheritance. So I got to seek him. You see? You got to seek him. All right, come on now. You're getting educated now. Come on. Watch it now. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? So it's all about him. His power to us who believe according to the work of his mighty power. He tells us how he worked it. He talked about the redeeming grace of the cross. And it ended up, he talking about and putting over the head of everything to the church. So we got a head, baby. What's up? We got somebody who could think. Yeah, we got somebody who can dream. The head of the church. We got somebody who think big, not small. The head of Jesus Christ himself, man. The Lord of glory. I got to close. Wait a minute. Now, a ram of word. Quickly, a ram of word. Turn to John 6:63. And I think it's somewhere, John 5:39, where he says, search me. Huh? And we need to look at those two together. John 5, search the scripture. For in them you think you have life. You think you have life. Search the scripture. Read the scripture. Look at the scripture. In them you think you have life. But you think you have life. You think you're a winner. And then he said, but they testify of me. And the next verse, don't forget it. And you will not come to me that you might have life. See, the scriptures. The scriptures are God. I said, the scripture is God. Got it?
Yes, sir.
And when you get the scripture right, you got God.
Right. Okay.
Me and my word.
Yeah. Glory to God.
God put himself in his word so you can take him home with you. And find out what he would do about any situation that come in your life. If you ask him, he'll reveal himself to you.
Yes, sir. Wow. Oh, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Now, notice in John 6:63. I might probably have to close that. John 6:63, because I'm trying to get you established that you need a rhema word. See, y'all trying to work with God with a red word. And a red word, really, you know, we talked about it, but I'm getting to think about this. Just reading the word, I don't believe you're getting much faith. Get y'all quiet in here now. I believe some faith come out the word, but the faith you really need, you're going to need to get a rhema word. And see, what a rhema word going to cause you to do is spend time with God. And what it do, it'll mature you to handle the blessing. Because the blessing will kill you. It's a blessing to get you lazy, see? You got two Rolls Royce, your house paid for, everything paid for. You might not want to come this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Then you got a little car with the wheels on it that go out on the beach. You might want to go ride on the beach this morning. See, you can't let this stuff get ahead of you. So the process is for a reason. The process is pruning what need to be pruned out of your life that is ahead of God. So you can put him in first place.
Amen.
So he can protect you in your blessing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
That's good word.
See, God got it set up, man. So here in John 6:3, it said the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth it. The words that I speak to you. Wait a minute now. The words that I speak to you. Give me time to talk to you. See, give me time to talk to you. Look what he says. Look what he said in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there and day and night, that thou may make. Let's read it. God dog it. I can't even quote it. Joshua 1:8. Go to Joshua 1:8. See, Joshua 1:8. Now, let me talk. You in Joshua 1:8, but let me talk to John 6:63. Okay. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. Uh-huh. The words that I speak to you, you must spend time with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. You must not have a reading regimen with me.
Thank you, Lord.
You just read, and you won't say, I read chapter 4.
No. Teach us, Pastor, teach.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so all you're saying is, I read 5 chapters today. Hallelujah. What did they say? Did God talk to you? Did God tell you anything about your business?
No.
See, the Bible is supposed to talk to you about you. Not about the other person's business, your business. Straighten yourself out. You want to straighten everybody? You want to straighten everybody out with the Bible? Straighten your tail out.
Nah.
Let the Bible straighten you out. Let the Bible get you straight. See what I'm saying? See, the Bible is God talking to me. God. When I first heard that years ago, about 30 years ago, the Bible is God talking to me, giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a fit word in season. That's what the Bible is, see? But you got to spend time. And Joshua tell us how to do it. Put it back up there. Put Joshua back up there. You got to meditate, because I misquoted that voice just now. This book of the law, talking about his word, should not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, you got to speak the word only, and your problem will be solved. Remember God said in the 8th chapter of Matthew, when he came about his servant, and his servant was sick, and Jesus said, I'll go home with you. He said, no, Lord, you don't have to go. Speak the word only. The boy who had fished all night and taken nothing, things looked like it was going bad in his life, but he got a word from the Lord. He said, Lord, I've toiled all night long and taken nothing, but at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. What happened? It sank the ship. See, they got a real, he had a real word from God. See, a lot of times y'all got scripture, but y'all don't have a word from God. See, scriptures are not a word from God without God. Without the Holy Spirit opening it up for you. Come on now. I'm telling you how you lost a lot of battles. You just want to sit there and act like you know what I'm talking about. You lost a lot of battles because I put that scripture on it. And I put that scripture on it. And I put that scripture. Yeah, but did you put the scripture on you? See, the scripture, the first thing the scripture is going to do, Hebrews 4:12, is examine you. Know what the intent. What's your intent? What's the thought in your heart? Why you want this? What you going to say about it? Who gave it to you? Are you going to praise me with it?
Yes, sir.
See, I'm on my front porch, and the Spirit of God come on me. I throw both hands in the air. I don't care what them people do. They ride bicycles. They clean cars, feed dogs. I can praise God at my house. So I just put my hand up. I ain't going to talk about who passing by. I don't want to think I'm goofy. They already think I'm crazy. People who have no revelation, with a man or woman with revelation, you already crazy. So you just go ahead and act it out, because you crazy anyway. But when they look out, they get further down the road and they think about it and look how God has blessed you. He can't be too crazy though.
That's right.
I got a clothes, man. Woo! Woo! Let's a rhema word is a fresh word from God with instruction on how to handle a situation supernatural. I love it. It's a fresh word from God with instruction built in it that are supernatural instruction, that are miracle instruction, that are sign instruction, that are wonder instruction, that has the key to nothing, key to everything that incurable, the key to everything that is impossible, the key to thing that you've never seen before. See, that rhema word is God himself. See, the logos is the written word. Thank God. So the logos is the way you study and get the rhema word from. But if you try to do with a logos, just a scripture you memorize, without God speaking it to you, he wants you to stay there long enough that my sheep hear my voice. And a voice of a stranger they will not follow. And anything against you is a stranger. Are you following me over here? See, anything against you is a stranger. Any defeat is strange to you. Anything that puts you down is Satan trying to do it. And you're not going to follow that. You're going to turn on it. You turn on him with the word of God. And Ephesians 6:17 said the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Meaning it can get some things done, partner. It cut from both sides. It's a two-edged sword. Are you listening to me? We're talking about increasing your capacity to operate in the supernatural. We said, number one, you have to have a renewed mind. Because there are things that God's going to tell you to do, you're never going to do it because you're trying to make sense out of it. And that what you're trying to make sense out, that's not God. God does not operate through senses. We use our senses for common things. You know, don't pull in the car, don't pull off from the red light. When the light red, you don't need no revelation for that. The light red. But when it comes down to supernatural things, it comes down to miracles, it comes down to signs and wonders, you need to have a revelation. So and a natural mind cannot take a revelation. Because, just let me close when I get ready. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to help you. In a realm of word, there is divine instruction. In a realm of word, there's supernatural instruction. Sometimes to your head, whatever he tell you look like it's not going to work, but you got an assurance in your heart, and you move on that. You, realm of word don't move on your head. It move on your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so what you do now? On daily basis, ask the Lord, Lord, give me a rhema.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
So I can deal with this.
Thank you, Lord.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, I promise you, child of God, I promise you, God will give you a rhema.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll give you a revelation, a word with a revelation in it, a word with instruction in it. But if your mind not renewed, you're not going to do that. See, because your mind trying to figure out some other way to do it nice and precisely. The instruction God going to give you is, you know, you ask for wine. He tell you, boy, I know one of them boys said, man, this man told us to put water in here. Them people going to cuss us out. We get back there with water. Man, I know some of them left. Man, I ain't putting no water in. It's stupid. See, you had to have a revelation. Mary said, whatsoever he said, do it. See, that's the key. That's the key to the finished work. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Are you following me? And then your head gonna give you a problem unless you got your mind renewed. Your mind renewed, you got to have revelation, you got to have a rhema word. And let me close with this. Because some people don't understand what this is. And some of y'all got a problem with this. The Lord teaches it to you every day. Every day in this church, and he teaches it through my life because I have the apostolic money coming anointing on me. You got to know how to receive, man. Some people just don't receive. I don't need that. Then get home, I wish I'd have took it. You know you need it. It was God meeting your need, but you with your proud self, turn the $100 down. No, give that to somebody else who need it. And your left side says, you need it, stupid. Grab the money. See, we got to get out of this. And so now, not only talking about 100 now, we're talking about somebody won't give you a house. You know the house better than the house you're living in. You say, oh, give it to somebody else. The Lord ain't send them to somebody else. He sent them to you. You give what you got to somebody else. You have to learn how to receive. All right? Stand on your feet. You have to learn how to receive. You got a renewed mind. You got to have revelation. You got to have a rhema word. And you have to learn how to receive. We'll take up next Sunday. Ready to release what you receive. And knowing the realities of the spirit world. Releasing rhema words out of your mouth and having a river experience. Yeah, jumping, we're going to jump in the river. You got to get in there where you can't walk and you can't wade. You got to swim. Get in over your head. I've been in over my head so many times. I got in, God said, do this. How in the world I'm going to do this? Just go ahead and do it. I said, all right. I tell the boy, draw the line that foot. We ain't even had no measure stick. I said, go, walk. No, that ain't long enough. Walk some more. That ain't big enough. And we ain't got no tape measure or nothing. Say, wait. No, go a little further. Some of these boys, man, they've been crazy with me. They've been around here. Sometimes I know they talk about me, Charles. So, Roy, I don't know what he's doing now, but that's gone, Lord. Let's pray for him and try to work with him. I don't know. Yeah. I know. Because they're board members. They know we ain't got that much money. What are you trying to do? See, but it's not the money. It's the instruction. Come on, get it? It's not the money, baby. See, y'all, that money rule, y'all, it's not the money. It's getting the instruction proper. If the Lord said, Bill, I was preaching in, what that man that they moved out of that church? Him and his sons moved to another church.
Chicago.
The man, see, he heard me preach one time. I think how big the house he had set up to build. 4,000. What did he end up building? 8,000. I'm preaching. I said, that's not big enough. Now, I don't know this man. I don't know nobody's house. That's not big enough. The house you're building is not big enough. Now, I don't know nobody building a house. I'm just talking in the spirit. Man, Sam and his wife heard that. They went back and tore that thing up and built a thing twice as big. And God took care of it. And he said, I'm so happy. I guess you got twice as much room. Now, when it came down to my house, God showed it to my wife. Listen, I was riding down the street I was on my Segway. No, I was in my golf cart. And I started crying down Bella Lane. I remember 20-something years ago, I came down that street and I didn't have a cart. But the Lord told me to go down that street. I'd never been in that subdivision before in my life. I didn't even know it existed. I went down that street. I tried to buy that spot where Lamar lived now. I tried to get that spot, but his mom had already got that spot. But I tried to talk to the man. He said, no, the lady didn't give me the money, so that's the spot. But that wasn't my spot anyway, because the house I built needed to be hidden back in the subdivision, Father. And so I don't have no money. The man showed me the lot all in the back. I said, man, I don't want no back lot. I ain't got no money, but I don't want no back lot. I've been in the back all my life. You got any lots up front you can show me? And he brought me up and got out a lot. He said, Reverend Tom, there's two lots here. I ain't got no money now. There's two lots here. So I walk. Him and I walk. I had my overcoat on and walk. And so him and I walking back. I said, I'll take both of them. Now, how am I going to take two lots? And I still today, sister, don't know. I know God did it, but I don't know how I got the money to buy the lot. I don't know. I still don't. Bought the lot. Carolyn saw the house. A Baptist deacon saw the house. Come told us about it. The Baptist deacon said, man, that was a big house. Had lights everywhere. Baptist deacon named Ashiel Clark. He lives in New Orleans right now. He told us about that house. He saw it. He was a man who walked with God as a Baptist. He was real close to God. And he saw that house. He's the man. I'll talk to you a minute here. He's the man that when I was in the Baptist church, I had a white Cadillac. And I always kept my cars clean. And he was one. He said, man, I wonder why he got a Cadillac. I wonder if he loved God. He always, that Cadillac always clean. So he had a dream. My Cadillac was beside the road. He was in his old truck.